Hannah Esther.
Hi.
Oh, hi, Hannah. How are you?
Doing fine. Just got in.
Oh, good. Oh. How's the weather there?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Very beautiful.
Oh, nice.
Hi, Malcolm.
Hi, Malcolm.
Hello. How's everybody today?
Yeah, pretty good.
Great.
Good, and yourself? And how are you?
Doing fine, thank you.
Good evening. So we're in section 44, and we're going to start with verse 23. Hashem Yitzchak Shabarichu Ishkinte Bitchilu Urchimu Udchilu Udchilu Urchimu Leachta Hashem Yudhe Bavavhe Beyehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Am Adonai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Chonenei Aleinu Ma'asei Adenu Chonenehu Vayevarech Elohim Et Yom HaShvi'i Da Kohen Gadol Tim Varech Lekola Wehu Natel Beresha Idnan Kohen Notel Barosh Uvir Kan Beya Sharyan Levarka Vihikre Shvi Rabbi Yesa Saba Amar Chane Tire Chad B'Yusoda B'Alma Yihu B'Had B'Amuda B'Em Saita. And Elohim blessed the seventh day, refers to the high priest, who blesses all and takes the first share. As we have learned, the priest takes the first share of all feasts, and he is blessed. Hence, he can bless others, and is called the seventh. Rabbi Yessa Saba said that, and finished, refers to the Yesod, the foundation of the world, and blessed to the central column, which is Tiferet. Questions, comments, thoughts?
And the priest can only be Kohen, right?
The word Kohen means priest. And so to be a priest, you have to be a descendant of Aaron the priest. They very clearly do. But it's interesting because they have a gene that is attributable to Aaron. And it's something like 85% of the priests, the Kohanim in the world, have that gene. But the other 15% of people who move to a new city, whenever their grandparent or their moved to a new country and they took on the role of being a priest, thinking they could do so, and they obviously damage their souls when that happens.
Hello.
Yes, Hannah Esther.
When you say they had a gene, what can you elaborate on that?
Not really. As DNA develops, you're getting that now in the advertisements. You know, the Ancestor website and the 23andMe website, who are promoting people to have their DNA charted. the results when they do that, when someone has their genes, their DNA charted, what they get back is a location in the world. And they say, you know, you have so much percentage of this ancestor and that ancestor. And you come from Eastern Europe or Western Europe or, you know, or China or, you know, all of these different locations. And it's based on a statistical probability that when they've taken, you know, many, many DNA samples and they've charted it, they're saying, well, these people who lived in China, these genes are related to that, and then these other genes are from Europe, and it's all a statistical sample. There's no guarantee that that's true. In fact, one of the people that lives in the building that I live in, he had that done by the Ancestor website, and he was very proud that he has a Neanderthal gene. So, you know, who knows what that means? But what took place is they tested, they charted the genes of the Kohanim, and they have this high statistical probability this one gene occurs in all of the Kohanim.
The
geographical location doesn't apply to the Jewish world because it was sent into the diaspora. It's all over the place.
The wandering Jews,
and they, you know, they intermarried, not after conversions and all of these other things. So, you know, the children of Israel have various genes. And you know, the scientists don't look into the Bible to see what they could learn to apply to the what they're learning in the DNA sequencing. So that's why I say I really can't give you information other than what I've just said. You know, I think it's a good thing that people have their DNA charted so that they're as the science improves and becomes more honest and more truthful, that your children and your grandchildren would know more. And Kabbalah has always explained that the DNA, which is based on the four different amino acids, A, C, T, and G, that creates the DNA and the various genes, depending on the sequence. Kabbalah has always said that there are spiritual aspects to those four levels related to the name of Hashem, the four-letter name, and that character traits and personality traits are also built into the genes, but that is yet to be revealed in the science world.
Hello.
Yes, I'm Esther.
Is it true that redheads are descendants of King David, or is it true to say that?
It's not true to say that. King David was
not necessarily.
King David was a redhead, but so was Esau, and both of them were hairy. So there's no truth to the redheads come from King David. What the red hair implies is that that person will have a tendency to get angry with greater ease than other people, and that they need to take the moment and learn how to control their anger. And that's really the meaning of a red hair. Now,
thank you.
In the world of the feminine, the color of the hair is not always honest, so you can't always say that. Should I go on to this last verse?
Well, I'm wondering about the verse itself. Is it in time, the tithe that's given to the high priest? And because that tithe is given to him, whether it's financial support or, say, the challah, that by them receiving, then they were able to bless others. Is that coming from that verse? At least the first one?
No.
Okay.
As we have learned, the priest takes the first share of all the feasts is an indication in our world after the destruction of the temple, the priest is given the first aliyah. And if you're doing a Sheva Brachot, the seven blessings in a wedding feast, the priest is the first one to be called to do the first blessing. So that's what that's referring to. It's not referring to that the priest is blessed. But he said, in addition to receiving the first share, the priest is blessed. Now, what causes someone to be blessed? The connection to the Creator is what creates blessing. And the priest, Aaron being the first priest, actually the second priest, because Moses acted as the priest during the testing of the Mishkan. But Aaron was the first priest, and essentially what causes the priest to be blessed is the Levite is a left column tribe, and Aaron and Moses come from the Levites. And when when the left column purifies itself, when an individual left column person purifies itself, then they are ready to be holy, to become holy, which means to become blessed, which means that Hashem, to be holy, you, something outside of yourself must elevate you and cause you to change from the desire to receive for oneself alone and become purified to be the desire to receive in order to share the right column consciousness. And that's what it means to be blessed. And the priests, generally, Aaron was the first one because that had become his nature. He purified himself, and yet he changed. And that changing made him ready to be elevated to the higher level of consciousness called priesthood. And then elsewhere in the Torah, it says that all of the children of Israel will be blessed. All of the children of Israel will be priests to the other nations, which is an indication that the children of Israel will be the first to be purified of the desire to receive for oneself alone. And that will allow the children of Israel to be elevated to this level of being able to bless others, the other nations. I hope that clarifies it.
Well, the reason I said it was because when I did the challah workshop, I had found that, you know, the challah is really the portion of the bread that went to the priest. And I had read where, because the dough was given to them, they could just bake the dough. And which gave them time to spend their time doing their priestly duties, which blessed others. So that was why I had said that. That's what came to my mind.
Well, I think that's I haven't heard that before, and maybe that does come from the Talmud, but I think it's a made up story, because the reason. When you take the challah, what you're taking is the negative aspect of the desire to receive. and only the priest is able to transform them back to the positive. It's the same idea of the orla years in a child, where you don't cut the boy's hair for the first 3 years, and the orla years in the trees, so that the fruits cannot be eaten, they must be donated to the temple, where the priests will eat them, because they can handle this energy of the orla, which represents the intense energy of the desire to receive. The Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina years. Those are the 3 years that the fruit is donated to the synagogue, to the temple. So it's really understanding what is the cause behind these different mitzvot that helps you understand the totality of it. Should I go on?
Okay. I thought of it in a completely different way. So
I understand. And it doesn't mean that the way you're thinking of it is incorrect. Because, it can always be that this way that I'm thinking and this way that you're thinking are both correct. Because there's 70 explanations of the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But my perception, because I had never heard or read anything that related to what the taking of the challah when you're baking bread. And I know it was given to the priests, but they fashioned it into the showbread, which was the miracle of the 12 loaves that went from Shabbat to Shabbat still warm.
Mm-hmm. Well, it came from Pirkei Avot, and Pirkei Avot said that because it was one of the things that we made mention of at Hoshana Rabbah when we did the beating of the willows, that one of the, well, the Pirkei Avot refers to it as punishments, but we know that it's not punishments, that it's cause and effect. And that tithe, not tithing, caused famine and drought, and not taking of the challah, which is separating that piece, was in that part of tithing. It was considered a tithe. And
the first fruits is considered a tithing. The orla years are considered a tithing. That's correct. And
if someone else made challah and kept a kosher home, believe me, I'd appreciate it if they would bring me a batch of dough. And that particular day, that would save me quite a few hours, because it takes an hour and 15 minutes just for the dough to go through the cycle. It takes a good 3 hours to bake 2 small loaves of challah. So it would be a blessing to me, then I could bless others. So that's my thinking. No, it doesn't have to be one. But it's, and maybe because I've had 2 ladies ask me to do a workshop just in the last week, and challah's on my mind right now. So, but we can go on.
Okay, I understand. Verse 184. V'kein v'yekadesh oto leman lehahu atar diat kayama beya. Sharya kada'a vehirani oto ve'et navehu uchai atar sharyan kol kedoshin ve'ela v'nachke mineya likne Knesset Yisrael lemehav lahtaf nuka Lechem panag v'azla akima diktiv me asher shemena lachmo v'hu yiten madane melech me asher dakayam shelim shemena lachmo. Dehawalechem onim. itadar lemechave lechem panag vehu yiten ma'adane melech man melech da kenetet Yisrael hu yahev kol ta nukin li'almin v'kal kedushin v'nafkin mileila mehai atar nafkin v'yalda v'ikadesh oto ahu at tayama. Rabbi Shimon said that, and he sanctified it. Also refers to Yesod, because it says, and he sanctified it without saying what he sanctified. This phrase is unlike the previous passages, and he blessed and he rested, because it refers to the place where the sign of the covenant is fixed, namely Yesod. The word Oto, which is translated as it, can be interpreted as the place of the sign of the covenant, namely Yesod. Because it is written, and he shows me both it, Oto, and his habitation. It refers to Yesod, and his habitation refers to Malchut. This place, Yesod, is the dwelling of all supernal sanctities, the place from which the Nukva descends upon the congregation of Israel to bestow upon her luxuries and the bread of joy. This is in accordance with the verse, "From Asher his bread shall be fat, and he shall feel the dainties of the king." From Asher alludes to the perfect covenant. His bread shall be fat indicates that before the correction of the Yesod, bread was a shame, but now, after the correction, it has become the bread of joy. In the words, "and he shall feel the dainties of the king refers to the congregation of Israel, which is the Nukva of Zeranpin, to whom the Yesod gives all the luxuries of the world. And all the sanctities that emerge from above originate from this place. Hence, he sanctified it, the very sign of the covenant, the Yesod." Questions, comments, thoughts?
Is it true all covenants are made over blood?
Not necessarily. I don't think there was any blood in the covenant between the pieces, but I'm going by memory. There may have been. I'll just give you some, as I was reading this verse, there were so a couple or three times where the word Oto was put in parentheses in the translation, and they were translating it as the word it. But if you look at the Oto, is really talking about his Ot. And if you see the letters Aleph to Tav, the word et, that's the... We're taught elsewhere in the Zohar that that's the Shekhinah, the ultimate vessel, the ultimate receiver. And the Vav at the end of that word, of any word, is the personal pronoun his or yours. And so this idea, Oto, is actually it's meaning your vessel or his vessel.
I thought it was his son. but I may just be thinking of oat.
Well, you can't, the word aleph to taf, oat or et, can be translated as sign or letters.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual essence is that of the Shekhinah, and which is mm-hmm. essentially the vessel, the Malchut. So I was taking it to the deeper spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it doesn't mean it. It could mean it's meaning his sign. But that doesn't really fit with this translation they're giving us.
Is it true that when the priest went into the holy place, he was hooked up to some kind of cord in case he died?
Yes, that is true. Because the only time he went into the Holy of Holies was on Yom Kippur. And if he didn't have the right consciousness and didn't say the name properly, he was drawing too much energy and it would kill him. And since no one else could go into the Holy of Holies but the high priest, the only way they could get his body out was to drag it out by the cord. And in the course of, I don't remember exactly the statistics, but the first temple existed in Jerusalem for 410 years, and the second temple for 420 years. And in the first temple, there was one high priest who was the high priest for 80 plus years. But in the second temple, there were 80 plus high priests who only lasted 1 year. Each time they went into the Holy of Holies, they died, and they had to appoint a new high priest. And that was primarily because they weren't all priests. Because unfortunately, the corruption in the Second Temple allowed them to sell the high priesthood to the highest bidder. And essentially, it was felt I didn't have to be a priest to be a high priest. So they would buy their high priesthood, which was buying their death. Any questions before we call it to close, because this is the end of section 44, and we'll start section 45 next Monday, because
okay.
Tomorrow night the class is the advanced reincarnation. And I wish everyone a wonderful Kodesh Tov, which is just ending, and a beautiful month. Of an elevated cheshvan, a ram cheshvan, not a mar cheshvan. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Thank you.
Shalom.
Thank you.
Thank you.